Hebrews chapter 10. So then, the law, and he means the law of Moses, is not the complete reflection of realities, of real things. It is only a very shadowy reflection of the good things to come. They offer the same sacrifices year after year. But therefore the law, through those sacrifices, can't perfect the people who come to God. Because if the people who are worshipping God using those sacrifices had truly been cleansed from their sins, they wouldn't feel guilty of sin anymore, and all the sacrifices would end. But the sacrifices serve year after year to remind people of their sins, because once a year they had the Day of Atonement, where you came and you confessed your sins and offered a sacrifice. Well, Paul is saying, why do that if in fact all the sacrifices you offered for your sins had actually got you forgiveness? For this reason, when Christ came, he said to God, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but you have prepared me to be your servant. You are not pleased with animals that are offered as whole burnt offerings, nor with sacrifices which can take away sin. And then I said, here I am, I shall do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the book. And he means the book of the law of Moses. For he said, you do not want sacrifices and offerings, nor are you pleased with burnt offerings on your altar, nor the sacrifices which take away sins. He said this, even though all those sacrifices are required by the law. And only then he said, here am I come, O God, to do your will. So God does away with all the old system of sacrifices and replaces them with the sacrifice of Christ. And so, because Jesus fulfilled all God's will, we are by this purified from sin by the offering of Jesus, the offering of his own body, which he made once and for all. Now, every priest, that is, priest under the law, performs the sacrifices every day and offers the same sacrifices many times, but therefore those sacrifices can never take away sin. Christ is the one sacrifice that was offered once and for all for sin, an offering that lasts forever. And after that, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting until God will put all his enemies under his feet as his footstool. With one sacrifice, then, he has perfected forever those who are in this way cleansed from sin. So then, we don't need to keep the law of Moses, because that whole system could not save. But it was put there to make people need Jesus. To think, oh, could we not have one sacrifice that just dealt with sin for all time? And so the Holy Spirit makes yet another witness. First of all, the Spirit says, and you notice how when he's quoting from the Old Testament, he says, this is what the Spirit says, because the Bible is written by inspiration of God, inspiration, it's called. That is, God puts his Spirit in men so that the words they write are his words. So, he says, the Holy Spirit says, firstly, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, that is, in the future, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them upon their minds. And afterwards he says, and I will not remember their sins and their iniquities any longer. So, when these sins have been forgiven, there is no need any longer for an offering to take away sin. So this is the new covenant, that God would put his law in our hearts. Therefore, brothers, and he means brothers and sisters, we have been made completely free to go right into the most holy place through the death of Jesus. And you remember how when Jesus died, the veil that divided the most holy place was torn from top to bottom, shown that it was God who had torn it, so that the way into the most holy was now open to everybody, not just the high priest once a year. And so he opened for us a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, through his own flesh. And so we have a great high priest who is over the house of God, So let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and confidence, with hearts that have been washed from a bad conscience, and with bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast, let us hold on to the great hope that we have, because we can trust that God will fulfill his promise. And let us care for one another, to help one another, to live lives of love and doing good. Let us not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as some do, but to the opposite, let us rather encourage each other more and more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So because these things are true, and I have really been cleansed of all my sins, and I've really got therefore this great solid hope of life eternal before me when Jesus is coming back, therefore, Paul says, you should encourage others, and you should meet with others to enthuse about these things. For there is no longer any sacrifice for sin if we intentionally go on sinning after we have known the truth. Rather, all that we have to look forward to then is the coming of judgment and the fire of destruction, which will destroy those who are against God. Anyone who disobeyed the law of Moses was put to death without mercy when found guilty on the evidence of two or more witnesses. But what then of the person who despises the Son of God, who treats the blood of the covenant as a cheap thing? By doing so, he insults the Spirit of grace. Just think how much worse will be the judgment that he will deserve. For we know him who has said, I will judge, I will repay, and I will give vengeance. And he also said, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we have to remember that there is such a thing as condemnation. There is such a thing as the future we might miss. And this is where we are different from other people. As Peter says, they think it's strange that we don't run with them doing all the things that they do, but we have got to give an answer to God. Now, that's not a negative thing. If we have this great hope, we can rejoice in that, but if we're going to throw it away, we will have to answer for that. Remember how it was when you first believed in the past. In those days, after you had first been enlightened, you suffered awful things, and yet you overcame. At times, you were ashamed publicly. You were ill-treated. Other times, you were willing to fellowship with those who were being treated in the same way. You shared in the sufferings of prisoners. That is, they went to visit the Christians who'd been put in prison, perhaps by Paul, Saul. And when you lost all your belongings, you endured that loss with joy because you knew that you still possessed that which is far better and that which would last forever. So don't lose your confidence, therefore, because it brings with it a wonderful reward. You must be patient so that you may do the will of God and receive the promise. For as the scripture says, just a little while, and he who shall come will come, and he will not tarry any more. My faithful people, however, shall live by their faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. And we are not of those who draw back unto destruction, but instead we believe, we have faith unto the saving of the soul. And so we're going to read in chapter 11 all about faith. So then, it's a case of keeping on, keeping on.